Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
This is one of my very favorite Sundays of the church year, and I know it's not some of your very favorite Sunday of the church year. It's our State of the Church time. We'll get back into our Corinthians series next week, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Kind of relieved I'm not covering that today. If you've looked at the first few verses, you're like, yeah, I want to see how you deal with that. Some of you are like, ooh, what does it say? Is it juicy? It's juicy. We'll get to that next week. But State of the Church for us as a church family, this is our 15th year to be doing this together. And so we are really excited to look back on what God has done this past year. State of the Church is important not just to me, but I think it's important to us as a church family. It's important for a church to pause, to stop, to collect our breath, and to assess what God has been doing in our midst. You see, if we don't pause and assess and look, we won't ever celebrate. And we won't ever praise. We won't ever make good adjustments that God is calling us to make. It's important for us to have these moments to seek His guidance, to recognize His blessings and His provision. But also it's important for us to get our bearings and to kind of think about where God may be leading us as a church family and as members of this church into this new year. See, if we don't stop and recognize and praise God for what He's done, we're essentially robbing God of glory. And we don't want to be a church that never says, God, thank you for what you've done. So these Sundays, this State of the Church, it's an opportunity for us to reflect and to praise. And also this morning, if you are a guest, this is one of the best Sundays for you to be present. Because you get to see what kind of church is this church? What has God been doing in this church? Is God active in its people? And we hope that as you leave here today, you'll say, wow, God has been at work in this faith fellowship. And this is a group of people I would love to be on mission with. And for our members, it's so vital for us. Because North Star tends to be the kind of church that goes 90 miles an hour most of the time. And if we don't stop, and if we don't pause, and if we don't praise God for who He is and for what He's done in our midst, we'll just keep churning forward mindlessly. So these are wonderful opportunities for us. Now, as you came in, you saw the QR codes, and it was on the screen during the greeting time. But if you've not scanned that, you can scan that now. And that'll just give you a State of the Church report. It'll cover some of the things that I'm going to be talking about, but it also has a lot more that I won't even touch on this morning because there's just not time to do so. But let's look back at what God has done this past year just to kind of give you an update. So as we've launched small groups already last week, and Philip mentioned that during the welcome time, last year we saw unprecedented growth in our small groups. We had 18 groups. We had 303 people participating in those groups. We had 46 different people leading them and an average of 19 people in each group, which really isn't a small group, but some of our groups are like 30 and 40, and so they become mini churches, and it throws the average off a little bit. But small groups are where the life of the church happens. It's where we're organized to love and learn and serve and reach. And so we want to encourage you to find a small group, find a way to plug in to the life of North Star and get to know other people in North Star and do life with them. Now, if you've been at North Star for any length of time, you know that discipleship is really important to us. And we have a 6-week curriculum called the Discipleship Initiative that we encourage all of our members to participate in, and many of you have been through this. We launched it in January of 2019. Well, this past year, we had 35 participants. We had 16 different leaders, and there were 19 groups that met. And if you've never stepped into a small group of basic discipleship with someone, of just learning how to follow Christ, we want to encourage you to do so this year in 2024. You can go to don'tgo.be/discipleship, and you can fill out the discipleship questionnaire, and then Matt, who is our minister of discipleship, will get you plugged in with a leader and get you scheduled for a group to start. Now, if you came in the building this morning and happened to look to your right, back towards our kids area, we've all been super envious because the kids ministry has a brand new sign. It's like lit up and it says kids on it, and we are thrilled. But God has been doing an amazing work in our kids ministry this past year. We've seen amazing and astounding growth, and we've got so many neat stories of Jesus's activity with our children's ministry. But we had 180 kids this past summer participate in our kids camp. On any given Sunday, we have 349 kids. That doesn't mean they're all here at one time, okay? Usually it's between 80 and 110 that are over there right now being instructed by amazing volunteers. But on November 5th, we had our high attendance Sunday, which was 122 for our children's ministry, which requires about 24 volunteers every week. So I know Julie would want me to make a plug for her, but would you consider praying and being involved once a month or once every other month, serving our children in our children's ministry? Talk to Julie, talk to one of our children's ministry staff. They'll be glad to get you looped in and tell you what's involved in serving over there. But what God is doing with the life of our children is truly amazing. Our youth group meets here on Wednesday nights. Carolyn's been volunteering with the youth group this past year. She loves it, so I've got a little mole in the group telling me how everything is going, and Philip is well aware that there's a spy there, but we are so thrilled by how God is working in our youth ministry. This past year, we had about 65 youth weekly, and then you can see the rest of those numbers, but our youth ministry is a vibrant, active source of the life of Jesus Christ with some of our young people. And I would also put in a plug for Philip. If you've ever sensed a call to working with youth, even from a support basis of just helping get things set up or things like that, please see Philip. You can email him at philip@northstarfamily.org. He'd love to hear from you. They're actually down a little bit with our youth leaders from last year just because of a lot of transition recently. And so they are looking for people who might be interested in serving the Lord through their calling in youth ministry. Now, last year, baptisms were something that we celebrated as well. And you can see the historical record here going all the way back to 2011. But last year, we had 23 baptisms. That's almost two a month if you do the math. And we are really excited. Profoundly, last Sunday after church, I had three different conversations resulting in five people saying they wanted to be baptized. And so we're launching this year already with a lot of people wanting to follow Christ in obedience through believers' baptism. And so we're just thrilled about how God continues to work by demonstrating that people are professing publicly their faith in Christ Jesus. Now, our attendance has been pretty astounding. So last year, you can see our average attendance was 475. But let me tell you how we do that at North Star, how we get those numbers. You can see the chart there. We average a year average. We also have a school average. So while our schools are in session, we average a lot more than we do during the summer. And so we have a summer average, and then we throw all that together for the year average. But last year, we had 475 during the year. The year prior, 428, 299 during pandemic, 158 during the height of the pandemic, and then 2019, 291. But you can see the school average as well. So why that's significant is our school average last year was 552. Last Sunday, first real Sunday, the students and all of us and schools were back in session. Last Sunday, we had a high attendance for our history for a spring Sunday of 668 in both of our services. That does not include our children's ministry. And so we are thrilled about what God is doing, and we're humbled and we're blessed by that. But it means that you're inviting people to come. And it means that you're telling people to come and be a part of what God is doing in this faith family. So we're just really, really humbled by how God is showing up, by bringing people into our fellowship. Last year, we had 72 new people join North Star. Philip mentioned that next Sunday, we have another membership class. So last year, 72 people signed their membership covenants, affiliated with North Star, and joined it. And then in the middle of all this, God's people have been incredibly generous. So let me just kind of give you some perspective on our budget. This past year, we had an $811,000 budget, which was significant for us. It was a faith budget, for sure. When I came to North Star in July of 2009, our budget was $178,000. Just to give you some perspective, that year we only received $168,000. For 2010, my first full year here, we said, well, our budget was $178,000. We only received $168,000, but as we spent time in prayer, we felt like God was leading us to plan ministries, and we set a budget of $250,000 for 2010. But as we look at how God has worked historically, this year our budget was $811,000. And through you, God brought in $913,000. That is amazing how God is blessing and giving through you to His church for the advancement of His kingdom. What's even more stunning than that is some of the things that we budgeted for and thought we might have to spend didn't take place this past year, which means that we only spent $744,000, which gives our leadership teams the opportunity right now to be looking at ways that we can advance the kingdom and look at additional staffing and look at some additional needs that we have as a church, everything from our discipleship ministry. You see a new sign in our kids ministry. It allows us to do some things that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And so we are so, so grateful. You may wonder, how does giving look over the course of a year? You know, what are the high points? What are the low points? Well, this graph shows you that, is that we see a significant uptick in giving in April. That's that first jump. And then we always see an uptick in December. But you may notice from September through December, our giving steadily increased there at the end of last year. And we have a commitment at North Star that as we budget, we always give away a percentage of what you give to us to other ministries. Because we want to encourage you as members and guests to practice that personally, to tithe, to remind yourself consistently that what you receive is an act of grace on God's part. And so through our tithes and offerings, we're able to give back. But we practice that as a church. And so you can see the historical giving that we've experienced since 2018. It just has continued to increase, and we're so, so thankful for your faithfulness in giving. But last year, what that means is we gave away about $76,000 that you gave us to other ministries and agencies and people that we partner with. We think that's significant, that from this local body, you gave in such a way that enabled us to turn around and bless others in such a generous and significant way. And so we thank you for that. Now, some of you who are visiting today, you may think we've been in this building for a long time, and this is your first time here, and so you don't know North Star prior to this, but we've only been in this building since April of 2021. This was a long, long, long project for us. We met in Blacksburg Middle School for 18 years, and the Montgomery County School Board was ready for us to get out of Blacksburg Middle School. We moved into this building, and God provided so much to get in, but we do carry a note on this building. And so when we say immeasurably more, and that's the next slide, when we say immeasurably more seven, that is our current campaign to pay off what we owe on this ministry facility. Our goal is we'd love to get that thing paid off instead of financing it the full 25 years. And so we're hoping that God would provide in a way that He'll enable us to pay it off in 7 years. We have 5 years left of that original vision. But let me show you how that happened last year. So at the end of December, our balance on what we owe in this building is a little bit over $3 million. But at the beginning of January 2023, our note was $3.3 million, $3,298,000. So we made $205,000 in mortgage payments. And then we also received above and beyond through your giving another $124,000, so to speak, and we applied that to principal, which means that we were able to pay in $329,000 to our mortgage last year, which resulted in our balance, which means that we were able to reduce the overall note by just shy of $300,000. You know how bank interest works. You may be thinking, well, we paid more. Why did we only reduce it by that? Well, that's what interest is. And that's why the vision is to pay that note off completely in the next 5 years so that we can save that money on interest and apply it to ministry needs and opportunities. Now, in December, you probably are aware that we do a holiday missions offering. Every December, during our December nights, we take up two offerings. And one of those offerings is holiday missions. And during the holiday missions offering, what we receive, we give away 100% of that to the agencies and ministries that we partner with. So I think you may not be aware of this. This might be the first time you've heard it. But what we received in December of this year was $11,753 in 1 month through you. And so we are so, so grateful to be able to turn around and bless others with how you have blessed us. On top of everything else that God did last year, you're probably aware we have two new parking lots, and we're grateful for how God has provided for that. They are completely paid for. And also, God provided some new staff people for us. We have Chris Spence, who has come on board with us as a children's ministry assistant. We have Sonia Fabrizi for our communications director and Sean Couch as our minister in residence. And so God has also provided faithfully new leadership in our church family. We've been so, so thankful for that. So that's looking back at this past year. And the amazing thing about what we look at is God has done so much through you. God has ministered through you. God has blessed this church family. God has done so much. And so it's important for us today to pause and reflect how good it is to be a people that God seems to be pouring out his love on. It reminds me of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, which says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." We get to be the bride of Christ. We get to be his people. And so when we say don't go to church, be the church, it's a joy and an honor for us to be his people. So last year, it was interesting, when we did our State of the Church Sunday last year, it was on January the 29th. A week before that, on January the 20th about, we moved into our office building for the first time last year. So we've only been in the office building for about a year. And last year's State of the Church, we focused around one word, and it was a Greek word. And it's the Greek word spoudazo, spoudazo. And that word means to hasten or to make haste, to exert oneself, to endeavor, to give diligence. And it's translated in the Christian Standard Bible as make every effort. So let me read to you 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And you'll listen for this Greek word spoudazo in make every effort. It says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So last year, we encouraged one another to make every effort in your pursuit of Jesus, to apply spiritual disciplines to your life. So as this year, as we look at what is our emphasis this year, as we look at 2024, and as we've seen what God is doing, I want to ask you the question, how will you respond to the call of God in your life today? How will you respond to the call of God in your life today? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, and it'll be on the screen behind me. But Paul says to the church at Corinth, for he says, "At an acceptable time, I listened to you." and in the day of salvation I helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now, Paul is quoting Isaiah the prophet, and that's from Isaiah 49, 8 through 9. And here's what that passage says in full. This is what the Lord says. I will answer you in a time of favor. I will help you in the day of salvation. And I will keep you and I will appoint you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land, to make them possess the desolate inheritances, saying to the prisoners, come out, and to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. And so Paul is quoting Isaiah, and Isaiah is speaking to God's people under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's prophesying over them. He's encouraging them that today was a day of salvation. The day they heard the word of the Lord was a day that they should stop and assess and think about their relationship with God. And he's encouraging them to be the people of God. They have a mission as the people of God, and that mission will be bound up in the coming of a future Messiah. His name is Jesus. Profoundly, when Jesus came and he begins his ministry, he goes to Nazareth, and he's going to begin his preaching ministry, so to speak, by reading from Scripture in the synagogue in his hometown. What passage does he pick to read from? I think that would mean a lot, right? What's the very first public scripture reading that Jesus did in his earthly ministry? In Isaiah, or in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, this is what he says. It says, he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. As usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written. And this is what he reads from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the scroll. And he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him, and began by saying to them, today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled. So in Isaiah 49, God spoke to his people saying that there was coming a day of salvation, there was coming a time of his favor, when the land would be restored and his people would possess the desolate inheritances, and prisoners would be told to come out, and those in darkness would be set free. And then Jesus reads from Isaiah 61, the very Messiah. He is proclaiming that day as the day of salvation. He proclaims here, this is the year of the Lord's favor. It's an amazing messianic prophecy that's completely fulfilled in Jesus. And what Jesus is trying to communicate to the people in the synagogue, and what he's going to communicate to his disciples that he selects, he's going to say, now is the time of the kingdom of God. Now is the year of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. It's time for God's people to wake up, to rise up, to wake up, to accept their calling and their identity as the people of God. It's time for us, as the people of North Star, to accept the identity that God has given us as the people of North Star, to not live in fear of our culture, to not live in fear of the nations, to not be cowed by evil, to understand that God has established his people, and because Jesus Christ has come, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, and because of that, we can stand strong in our culture and in our neighborhoods and in our schools and on our campuses. We are called to be his people. How will we respond to the call of God upon our lives in 2024? This is our day. This is the day of salvation for many. This is a time of God's favor. Do you believe that? Do we, as God's people, really believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings, that He reigns, that He has all authority, that we should not fear anything or anyone. That when we say be the church, it doesn't mean that we're just going to be nice people. It means that we serve a God who is calling people out of sin, out of darkness, to salvation, to light, because of who God is and what He's done. It means that we are the agents of reconciliation. We are the ministers of the gospel. We are the church. We are the ones that communicate the gospel. We are the ones that proclaim, now is the day of salvation. This is the year of God's favor. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, we're reminded that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. It says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, because of you we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What this means is now is the day of salvation for many. Now is the year of the Lord's favor because we are the people of God. It calls for bold faith to live in your daily life as a God-fearing, Jesus-honoring Christian who refuses to compromise with culture, who embraces the calling of God upon your life to be a holy people, to be set apart for His purposes, to be lit up with the light of Christ Jesus. How will you respond to the call of God on your life in 2024? For some of you, this really is the day of salvation. Some of you, very few of you, I would assume, who are here in this auditorium this morning are not yet Christians. You are still checking things out. Some of you have been oozing through a pretend Christian existence for a long time because of your family, because of your spouse, because of your friends. You feel like Christians are nice people, so you just enjoy being around us. But 2024 could be for you the day of salvation. Today could be that day. A time for you to quit pretending, because it has to be exhausting pretending. It really must be deflating to see others around you experiencing the vibrancy of a spiritual life with God and wondering why that's not your experience. Wondering why being a Christian seems so ho-hum, so uneventful, so uninspiring. And perhaps because of that, you've grown a little bit numb and a little bit complacent over the years. And so you just show up. You're just here. You don't even have questions anymore. It's just a good place to be. You feel like it's like a nice TED Talk for the rest of your week. I don't know why you are where you are. I don't know what's happened in the past. I don't know what has triggered your downward spiral into just pretending, but today could be your day of salvation. This day could be a day that you step into the vibrant walk with Jesus Christ by faith. It could be past disappointment in God. It could be past hurt, past bitterness, past church experience. It could be that you have honest questions that at one time were truly honest questions, but now they are barriers instead of building blocks to understanding. And yet this morning, you probably expected just to show up for another warm, fuzzy Christian experience, pretending along the way, and you're sitting there and your heart is racing, going, oh no, He is talking to me. And let me just say, I don't have the spiritual power to diagnose who that may be this morning. But in a crowd this size, We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's people here who don't yet know Jesus. And so God brought you here this morning. You are here in this room hearing these words, and your heart is racing, and you may be suspecting God is talking to you right in this very moment, that today could be your day of salvation. Today, Jesus is calling you to come home, calling you to quit pretending, calling you to surrender, calling you to lay down your life before Him because He loves you so very much, calling you to let go what you've been holding on to as a barrier to stepping into the beauty of a fully pledged disciple of Jesus. Scripture says, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now there's another group of people here, a far larger group, vibrant Christians, followers of Jesus, church members and regular attenders, and even some guests. For you, this is the year of the Lord's favor. You should be aware that this is the year of the Lord's favor. If today you were to make a full-hearted decision to say, this year will be different. This year, I choose to follow Jesus Christ each and every day, fully aware of His presence in my life, fully convinced of His love for me. I choose to grow. I choose to dive in. I choose to be all in. This could be your year of God's favor. How will you respond to the call of God? What if we received the word of Jesus that this really is the year of His favor, this really is the day of salvation, that He came to set prisoners free? What if we believed that and we also understood that we as everyday ordinary Christians are also called to proclaim that to others? To let them know that they too could trust in Jesus Christ for the first time and be set free and know vibrancy and know purpose and know peace and know hope in spite of all of the struggles we all go through and the hardships and the trials and yes, even the grief and the despair, that God could be present in each and every one of our lives. So my encouragement to you is to reflect on last year's one word, spoudazo. And it would be, let's follow through and keep making every effort. But let's remember that today is the day of salvation. This is the year of God's favor. And you may be thinking right now, what's my next step? As a result of hearing the state of the church message and seeing that this church, God is obviously moving in its people. God has obviously blessed this group of faith-following Christians. What's your next personal step? What are you supposed to do next? I can't tell you that. God will tell you that. The Holy Spirit will tell you that. But sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what was the last thing that you know that God asked you to do or told you to do and you have delayed doing? You might start there. Because it could be that God is saying, I've asked you to do this, or I've told you to do this. I'm just waiting on your obedience at this one area. And when you step forward in faith and obey, I'm ready to back a dump truck of blessing. I don't think Jesus would say that. I'm ready to bless you. I want to go forward with you, but I need you to be faithful in a little so that you will learn to be faithful in much. We all have a choice before us today. Now is the day of salvation. This is the year of God's favor. Will you believe those realities? I want to share with you one more passage of Scripture. Years ago, the people of Israel took their very first steps into the Promised Land. Moses had died. Joshua had led them in, and Joshua had conquered all of the people, and they had finished what they set out to do. And all of the tribes were about to go and settle in the different areas of Israel where the tribes had been allotted land. But before they did, Joshua called them all together. It was almost like his retirement ceremony. He was going to step down. They were going to disperse. And this is what Joshua said to them about making a choice. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 1, and then in 24:14, it says, a long time after the Lord had given Israel rest from all the enemies around them, Joshua was old, advanced in age. In 24:14, it says, therefore, Joshua said, fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods of your ancestors. Worship the Lord. But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today. Which will you worship? The gods that your ancestors worshiped? Or the implication is, will you worship God? And then Joshua says unequivocally, his choice, as for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. So you see a slide in front of you that just says today. Today is the day of salvation. Today we can proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But you must choose. Choose to believe. Choose to step in. Choose to respond to the call of God upon your life.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.